Good job, guys. Man. Woo! Man, did that wake you up this morning, if nothing else? Amen. So somebody came this morning and said, oh, I was really kind of sleepy today, you know. So what a beautiful day the Lord has given us. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. You have a choice to rejoice. Do you know that? Amen. You have to choose to rejoice. And I am so excited about this word this morning, man. I am just so excited. Man, God is faithful and he's so good to us. Amen. Why don't you stand this morning and turn over to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and faithfulness to us. God been good to you? Amen. Hallelujah. So good. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Are you there? Amen. All right. Where there is no what? Revelation. Where there is no revelation, what happens? The people what? Cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no revelation, now this is Old Testament, guys, so I just want to make sure you understand that. This is Old Testament. Where there is no revelation, King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So hold up your Bibles this morning, and let's say it like we mean it today. We love this confession. Come on, say it with all your heart and might this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and give them a high five and say, it's time you open up your eyes. Amen. Wow. Praise God. God is faithful. God is so good to us. Amen. And if we were to identify, if I was to identify the number one enemy in every Christian's life, it would be spiritual blindness to what Christ has already provided and done for us by grace. That's it. It would be spiritual blindness to what Christ has already done for us and provided for us through grace. So much of this world, Christendom, do not understand that revelation. To have the revelation of grace and God's unconditional love in your life, It is the answer to so many things that people are looking for. It is the answer, period. And we've been talking about the orphan's heart, and one of the things of an orphan's heart is they're always searching to fulfill a void that has been left there by not having that relationship of a father or a mother or a figure in their life. And so they continually search. I was reading an article this morning. It was really interesting on Steve McQueen. Anybody ever remember Steve McQueen? Man, he had a 1968 Mustang. You know, Bullet, right? Remember Bullet? Anybody remember Bullet? So, yeah, right. Oh, man. So a friend of mine had a 68 Mustang. It was the same color. You know, it was beautiful, 68 Mustang fastback. And so, you know, he had that famous chase through San Francisco. But Steve McQueen was kind of like the John Wayne. He was kind of like the epitome of a man back in the day. And I was reading this article, and they talked about Steve had a huge void in his life, and he was always searching for his earthly father. He never really had that relationship, and because of that, and he was, you know, just distanced from his mother as well, didn't really want anything to do with her, and he was always searching for his father, and he tried to fill that void with drugs and sex and alcohol and all these things to fill that void. And then prior to his death, about 6 months, even before he knew he was ill, prior to his death, he had a visit from a gentleman named Billy Graham. And Billy Graham led him to Jesus Christ and actually gave him his personal New Testament, gave it to Steve. And the story goes that all of that searching ended at that point. He had really found the true answer to that void and have a revelation of God's goodness and grace in his life that he never had in his whole life. And then 6 months after that, he was diagnosed with cancer and of course ended up passing away. But here's the thing. A revelation of God's grace in your life is the most important enlightenment you can have. Grace and Jesus are synonymous. Wherever you see grace, you see Jesus. Amen? They are one of the same. And God desires you to walk in the revelation. And because what happens, people, a bad habit in a person's life is an emotional void trying to be filled by something else. A bad habit in a personal life, in a person's life, is an emotional void that's being tried to be filled by something else, because really they don't have a full revelation of all that God has already done for them, provided for them through grace. And when you have that revelation, I want to tell you, the peace of God is there, the love of God is there, the sustaining grace of God is there. You know, I mean, God is so relevant and real to your life, it's just an amazing thing. The calm assurance, you know, believers are to walk in the calm assurance of God's peace and grace. The calm assurance of the anointing of the Holy Spirit within you is there present with you at all times. You are not moved, you're not shook up, you're not dependent. No, you understand and realize the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ upon your life, and the depth of his love for you is almost imaginable. And it's like, wow, it gives you that security to walk in faith and not in the flesh. It gives you that power to walk in faith and not in the flesh. You're not looking at other things, because you know Jesus has so completed the inward part of you. Amen. Your spirit is 100% intact in Christ. Hallelujah. Your soul now is lining up with all those things because you realize how much you're loved by him. Man, life is good. Life is easy. Life is a blessing. Life is not full of stress or mess. Turn to somebody and say, no stress or mess here. Come on, somebody. Amen. So the blindness that people walk around in, this type of darkness is a foundational issue and a problem in so many lives. It's the greatest bondage of a born-again Christian or believer that they really struggle with, because they haven't come to that full understanding of God's revelation of grace in their life. So being spiritually blind of the gospel of grace can be compared to a physically blind person who walks into a room that is full of light and are unaware that they're in a room full of light because they're still in the dark. Turn to somebody and say, God wants you in the light. You're in with the in crowd. I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes. Some of you know that. Some of you are old, man. That's all I got to say. Amen. Amen. But God's good. God's good. Praise God. That was a great tune back then, man. But hallelujah. If we are spiritually blind, we will be subject to natural senses to guide us. If we are spiritually blind, we'll be subject to the natural senses to guide us, and not the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God. God didn't want you being led around by your natural senses. Hello? We'll be controlled by our emotions, and our doubts and fears will muffle the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is the antidote to that? A revelation of God's grace and unconditional love. It will get you out of the emotional state and get you over into the faith state. Amen. It will cause you to be walking by faith and not by sight. Because what is it that disappoints us? What is it that causes us to go awry at times? It's because we're walking by our feelings, by what we see, and not by the Word of God. And as soon as we get over to that area, all of a sudden we find that we're struggling here and we're struggling there. And how are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? And how are we going to meet this? And how are we going to... And our life is full of turmoil instead of the rest of God. Grace causes you to be at rest at all times. Whoa! That is powerful. Grace causes you to be at rest at all times. No stress, at rest. Your inward soul, man, is so restful. Hallelujah. Why? Because you know God's already accomplished everything he's going to accomplish and put it in you. Hallelujah. Giving you authority over the evil one. Praise God. Giving you the same anointing that Jesus had lives in you. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to tell you that anointing. What is that anointing? That anointing is the power to get results. That same anointing that Jesus had is now abiding in you through faith, through the Holy Spirit. It's there for you to get results in life. Anybody interested in getting results? Anybody? I am, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Grace, what does grace do? Grace brings healing. Emotional, physical, and spiritual. Grace brings healing. God's unmerited favor, when we don't deserve it, God still gives it. While we were yet in sin, God still loved us. Hallelujah. We didn't deserve any of it, but God brings healing to our emotions, to our hearts. Amen. He is near the brokenhearted. He is the father of the fatherless. He is the answer to your life. He brings healing to your heart. It is so wonderful when someone experiences that emotional healing and God pours in the love into their soul and all of a sudden they have that aha moment. Wow, this is so great. Man, God, you love me. Even when I mess up, you still care for me. Yes, he does. And he doesn't stop. He's full of restoration. God is a God of restoration. He wants to restore what the cankerworm, what the locust has eaten. God is a restoring God. He restores us. He puts us back to that place again. Actually, it's better than we've ever been because we've never been there. Amen. We haven't been there, but God brings those things back in our lives. He brings those good things back into our lives. There's some good things that we need, and there's some things you need to let go of. There's some relationships that are value, and there's some relationships you need to go, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You need to let go of some things in your life, and you need to let God bring the good things into your life. Amen. He is always giving us the good things. He is the God of good restoration. You know, I marvel when somebody can take an old car and they can restore it, or they take an old airplane and they restore it. It looks better than it really did the original one. That's how God always makes you look better. He is so good at restoring things in your life. So guys, listen to me. Don't try to reach for something that God says, hey, let me have it. I'll take care of it. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching good to you right now. Grace delivers. Grace delivers. Grace delivers. When you understand a full revelation of the love of God in your life and God's grace, I'm going to tell you, it will deliver you from every temptation and sin because you understand how good God's been to you, how wonderful he's been to you, that now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now he's empowered you by grace to overcome sin, that you wouldn't be overcome by sin. Now he understands that grace teaches you to deny ungodliness. And God says, wow, yeah, man, amen. And you open up your eyes and you realize, you know, you do more by walking in grace and understanding that than you do all the time trying just to keep the law and do what's right. And you mess up more over there than you will over in grace. Why is that, Pastor? Because law, that's what it does. Law entices it. Wow, you know. Man, knowledge, grace gives you knowledge, revelation. Grace gives you spiritual insight, amen, hallelujah. Jesus said in the message preaching of the gospel, he has come to heal the brokenhearted, restore the sight of the blind, and deliver the captives. Look at Isaiah 61:1. Look at the Old Testament, let's look at the New Testament. Look at this. What does the Lord do? What does grace do for us? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Turn to somebody and say, he's within you. You know, we used to think about that anointing. I always used to pray before I'd get up to preach. In fact, I have guys pray for me, you know, they'd get around me, oh, anoint our pastor today. Hallelujah. Anoint him, Jesus. And I always thought the anointing came and went. You know, I had to do something in order to get to the place to be anointed. But when I came into grace, I found like, hey, I'm always anointed. Always. Why? Because Jesus, what work we used to go through. What stuff we had to do to come up or conjure up to get to some place, you know, to feel like, now I'm anointed. Amen. Well, you got that anointing in you. You don't have to feel anything. It's right there. Hallelujah. And that same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is living within you. Use it. Amen. The Lord God's upon me because the Lord has anointed me to what? Preach the good news, not the bad news, the good news. People need to hear the good news. I don't matter what news station you turn on, CNN, NBC, Fox News, I don't care how good they are, how well you think they are, you're always going to get some bad news. But when you tune into the gospel station, you're going to get good news. Amen? Good news. Why? Preach good tidings to the poor. Why? Because the poor doesn't have to be poor anymore. When you're poor, it's good to know that you don't have to be poor anymore. When you're without, God says, no, 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 amen. With this gospel, you're going to be within. You're going to have more than enough, right? Amen. To the poor, he has sent me to heal who? The brokenhearted. There is the heart of the orphan, the brokenhearted. God wants to heal and has already provided healing for your spiritual heart. You don't have to be brokenhearted. No, God didn't want you brokenhearted. He wants your heart whole. Hallelujah. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Praise God. You don't have to be captive of anything. And the opening of what? The prison to those who are bound. Go over, if you will, to Luke 4, 18 and 19. Luke 4, 18, 19. Let's read this. Here Jesus opens it up and begins to read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he is what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are what? Oppressed. The opening of the prison over in Isaiah. That term there, the opening of the prison, is really the opening of the eyes to those who are bound. The law will bind you, grace will free you. The law will bind you, grace will free you. What he was saying is, I'm bringing a gospel that will cause liberty among you. I'm bringing a gospel that will cause freedom among you. He that hath ears, let him hear. He wasn't talking about these. He's talking about that inward understanding of revelation. Like when Peter, you know, had that revelation, thou art the Christ. Blessed art thou, summoned by Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He had a revelation, an understanding, an enlightenment of God and his church, and the foundation is upon Jesus and his teaching. Amen. He had that revelation. Thou art the Christ. Praise God. God wants you to have the revelation. He is the Christ, and his grace and unconditional love is for you. Guys, that empowers you so much. You don't have to work at it any longer. It's already done. I don't know about you guys, but since I've had this revelation, I have walked in so much peace. I mean, it's like, whoa, this is awesome. If it's already done, praise God. I'm not having to, you know, perform any longer. How cool is that? You mean I've got authority? How cool is that? You know, when I pray, I get answers. How cool is that? Amen. When I speak the word, I've got that authority in me. Man, turn to somebody and say, you're full of it. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, you're full of it. Say, it's all dwelling in you. Say, it's already there, already in you. Praise God. You've got that authority. When you go out into the world this week, you walk in your authority as a believer. You walk in that authority that you have. You walk in your peace. You walk in your joy. You walk in your love. Amen. You don't have to be bound to anything, addicted to anything but Jesus. You walk in that and then you give it out. People are looking for somebody to minister to them all week. There are places to go. There's places to minister. You know, most people are looking for a pulpit. Jesus looked for one person. Find the one. Jesus is always looking for the one. You read the Gospels. He is always looking for the one. Who can I minister to? Who's that one that I can make a difference in their lives? Wow. Look at Acts 20:24. Paul referred to the gospel of grace as the gospel. Look at this. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. I love that. Turn to somebody and say, that's me. No matter what I see, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, none of these things what? Why was he able to say that? Because Paul had a comprehension of God's goodness and his grace in his life, and no matter what he was going through, he knew that nothing was going to move him. Amen. He is solid as a rock. That's you. Amen. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the good news of the grace of God. That is the gospel. Look at Galatians 1:6-7. Galatians 1:6-7. Hallelujah, church. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. There is no other different gospel. Amen? There is no other one. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, how are they doing that? They were mixing law and they were mixing grace. You know, someone said the other day that 95% of what is in rat poison won't hurt you. It's the 5%, the strychnine, that'll kill you. 95% of grace is not grace. Mixed with 5% of the law, it'll kill you. You'll get the same. It may take longer. I looked that up on my computer this morning, so don't think about I'm going to poison my wife. I just want to let you know that. Amen. I'm not planning on doing that. Amen. It may be the other way around, but I'm not going to poison her. No, I'm not planning on killing her. No, I just want to let you know, honestly, out there, amen, everything's good. Amen. We love each other. It's all good. It's real good. Amen. It's real good. Amen. But 90, I thought about that, 95%. And you can just eat it and munch on it, and whoa, this is good. Yeah, this is good. Get up next day and do the same. This is good. And they throw in that little bit of 5%. That's why, man, it's just, it blows me away sometimes what people are eating, what you're chewing on, what your digestion. Amen. Spiritually, man, you need to get some good food, man. Get that gospel. It's 100% pure, no calories. Get as much as you want and taste so good. Make you look good. Make you feel good. Wow. Amen. Who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ? Go on. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Wow. As we have said before, so now I say, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you, then what? If you receive it, let him be what? A curse. It is the gospel of Christ. He marveled at them. Amen. He marveled at them. The gospel that was preached, the good tidings, was God's grace. This allowed them to see the truth that they could not see before. God's grace gives you the revelation of the truth that you couldn't receive before. The preaching of God's grace opens up the spiritual eyes. Amen. Grace is the antidote for spiritual blindness. God's grace, God's goodness, God's unmerited favor in your life and in your heart will open up your eyes and start declaring that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because of his grace, you're accepted by God and you're on your way. Woo! Amen. Oh yeah, you can give God some praise. He is good. Hallelujah. Wow. Oh, listen, obedience under the law and obedience under grace are two totally different things. And people are still confused about these two. So people have trouble understanding faithfulness under grace, right? Obedience under the law says this, that we must perform to get God to act on our behalf. That's what obedience under the law says. You've got to perform. You've got to do this. You've got to do so many Hail Marys. Thank you, Jesus. You've got to, you know, run around the church so many times. You've got to jump a pew. You got to beg God. You got to stay up all night praying. God, please move. And I tell you, the Christian arena is so full of people who want to exploit that and believe that is totally the answer. Obedience under grace is totally different. Obedience under grace is obedience to the faith. Jesus has already done what we need, and it has been done. And what do we do? Our response is obedience in faith, saying amen. That is it. Why? Because it's already done. Total different arena, guys. It's done. We say amen. That faith allows us to walk in the obedience of the Spirit because it's already completed. Under the law, we must first be faithful to God for him to be faithful to us. How many know human faithfulness is inconsistent? Anybody? Anybody know that? Anybody? Under grace, God wants us to have faith in Jesus' faithfulness. Kay quoted that scripture this morning that I absolutely love, one of my favorite scriptures. I remember the first time I read it, I was actually in college, early college. I've been through all these colleges. I mean, early college. When we are faithless, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. What a picture of grace. Wow, when we are faithless, God is still faithful. Amen? So guys, our level of spiritual knowledge determines how we respond in situations. Our level of spiritual revelation, our revelation of grace, determines how we respond in different situations. Just go with me this morning over to 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. 2 Kings 16, 6, 14 through 17. 6, 14 through 17. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. A revelation of grace will cause you to respond differently than living under the law. When you have a revelation of grace, you have full assurance that God is with you and on your side. A full assurance faith, folks, in what Christ has done will always get results. A full assurance of faith in what Christ has done. The law gives you a lack and a hope you have it. Grace says, I know I have it. Oh, this is good. This is good. Man, how do you walk in authority? When you have a revelation of what Christ has already provided for you, you cannot help but walk in your authority. You cannot help. It just, your prayer life will change. It will not be in that beg, it will be in that command. Because now you're walking in the full revelation of God's grace, what he's done for you. Look at this. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there were an army surrounding the city with the horses and the chariot. And his servant said to him, Alas, master, what shall we do? You ever heard any Christians say that? What am I going to do? It's all falling apart. What am I going to do? They have no revelation. When you have a revelation, you see, it went right to performance mentality. It went right to, what am I going to do? What do I need to do? What do I have to do? Oh, God, how are you going to move? How are you going to fix this? I got this daughter. I got this kid. I got this dog. I got this cat. God, what am I going to do with that cat? I can tell you what you can do with him. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. What am I going to do, Lord? Lord, my financial says this. My bank account says this. And what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What do I have to do? What do I have to do? Your do becomes doo-doo after a while. Then you do. Come on, somebody. Amen. So he answered, the prophet Elijah answered and said, what? Turn to somebody and say, now look him in the eyes and really say it. Do not fear. I told my wife 3 times yesterday, do not fear at my driving. I said, baby, don't. I said, I got this. Do not fear. True story, man. She was freaking out because I was doing, you know, I was turning, I was, you know. Do not fear. I got this. Be calm. I love you. Amen. Do not fear, honey. Amen. It's all right. I said, you know what? Look, the only thing happened, if we crash, we're going to heaven anyway. Hallelujah. Don't fear, baby. It's going to be good. I'm going to take care of you, and God's going to take care of you. You've been with me 33 years. I am still taking care of you. I am going to take care of you. Do not fear. Amen. Woo! If you want to, you know, if you're really saved, just drive with me a while. Better yet, fly with me. Amen. You know, it's all good. Praise God. Amen. I am a safe pilot, and I am a safe driver. It's all good, all right? So, but my wife was laughing. Amen. Do not fear. Fear has torment. He that is made perfect in love, what? Perfect love cast out what? He that is made perfect in love, there's no torment when you know you're made perfect in his love. You are perfect in his love. There is no fear. There is no torment. There is nothing but peace of God. When fear tries to come up on you, you've got to ask yourself, am I trusting truly in the love of God and what he's already done for me? That's why Paul prayed that prayer, and I could go on and on here, but fear is a work of the enemy. Do not receive it into your life. It should not be the voice of a believer. Amen. Fear will try to attack you in the weakest areas. Kate talked about it in the middle of the night. Don't allow fear. What does she do? She quoted Psalm 23. You need to learn some scripture in your heart when that thing comes up against you. And right there, you just start out of your mouth, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Man, when you start getting that word, you're getting that ninja mentality spiritually, man. You start, come on, devil. I'm gonna do some whipping on your head right now. Right? Most of us sit back there, oh my gosh. The difference is a revelation of knowing what's been done for you and not having a revelation of what's been done. This servant did not have a revelation like Elijah had the revelation. Because look, he said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open. He was looking. He was looking at all the different things around him. That's what you do at times. You look at all those different circumstances around you, and you try in your pea brain how to figure it out. You can't do it. Why do you say that? Because I tried that in my pea brain, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Some things I can't figure out, and you can't figure out. That's why you trust the Lord. Amen? That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. And the Lord said, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Praise God, I love it, all around him. God, open up my eyes on grace. Let me see that, what you have for me, what you've done for me. Lord, you have empowered me to live a successful life. You've empowered me to overcome. You've anointed me with the same anointing. Amen. Lord, I'm walking by faith, not by sight, not by fear, not by feelings, not by my emotions. I'm walking with you on a daily basis, and I am so empowered with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God, man. It's within me. Praise the Lord. Wow. And when you face a giant, it's no big deal, man. You got the sword of the Spirit. You got the Word of God. You got the helmet of salvation. Praise God. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got the buckle of truth, which is the Word of God on you. No big deal. Make my day, punk. Boom. Man, you should be blowing imps away, man. You know, my daughter, when we were up there, she talked about this place. It's an old building, like 1890. She said, Dad, you know, I just feel something when I walk in this place. And she bought this building. And, you know, it's just not good. It's not easy. And, you know, I said, baby, it's going to be good. And we took authority, and Holly prayed with her and ministered to her. And she walked in next day. She said, well, it's good. It's all right. Man, don't let any imp give. Are you serious? Give no place to the devil. No place. Don't give him any authority. No authority in your life. No area of your life. Nowhere. Amen. You got to understand, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Give him no power. He has none against you. It was stripped at the cross, and Jesus said, all power has been given to me, and he gave to us. Stand this morning. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, no orphan heart here. No, say, I belong to Daddy. Say, Daddy is good. He takes good care of me. He loves me so. He's always there. 24/7. Watching over me. Blessing me. Blessings are coming my way. I have an expectation of good. I am walking in the Spirit of the Lord. In the authority of Jesus Christ. I have that authority. I use that authority. Wow. Just wow. Wow. He is good. Raise your hands this morning. Amen. Let me say, last week, you know, Ashley was here. Ashley sits back there at her mom, and she was wanting to receive her prayer language. She had not received it. And before she left, I laid hands on her, and she received her prayer language. I mean, boom, just like that. And she said, wow, Pastor. And she spoke in the most beautiful tongues. It was just beautiful. And you know, she said, my mom used to rock me as a child, pray over me in the Spirit. And she wanted that tangible evidence of that speaking in tongues and the power of the Spirit within. And she received it. It is for you today. God wants you to have that. Amen. He wants you to walk in that. He wants you to enjoy that. That is the refreshing. Amen. That caused the weary to rest. That is what God has given us. Amen. And when we are praying in the Spirit, you are praying in the will of God. God desires you to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, with the evidence, initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's not weird. Jesus was anointed with the same Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Ghost. Paul had it. Amen. It's awesome. Praise God. Raise your hands this morning. Father, thank you today. Say with your heart, Father, thank you today for filling me with the power of the Lord. I already have it. It's already in me. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit operating in my life, the fullness of the Spirit operating in my life. I receive it today. I receive it today. Everything you have for me today, I receive, God. I am your child. Amen. Thank you for opening my eyes today. I have spiritual insight, spiritual understanding. In the name of Jesus, I receive it all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Give God a good hand clap of praise. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, we're glad to pray for you. Amen. You are loved today. I want you to turn five people and say, you are so loved today. Do you know that? Amen.